Hello, GWA Backstage. This is Opalescent. First and foremost, let me apologize for the extremely delayed response to these AMA questions. There's a lot of life that hit me around this time, or around the time when the offer came to me. So some things you just can't plan. So I'm glad I'm able to do it now. So without further ado, let's just do it. First question, huge fan, less of a question, more of a request. Can you group the horny questions together and wank through that part, please? Thanks. No, that's just not my style. I'm sure there's some that would do that, have done that, as a hysterical AMA of sorts, but I like to keep that for the AMA, for the GWA side. Sorry, but I'm glad you're bold to ask, you know. Never be afraid to ask what you want. Like the comedian Bob Zaney says when he's roasting people, if you don't ask, you don't know. But he's asking, I don't know, probably more vulgar questions than that. Sorry. What is your favorite Death From Above 1979 song, and why is it Romantic Rights? It's not Romantic Rights. My favorite song of theirs is Little Girl. That is so good. That song, for being a two-piece band, they can really pack a large sound. And that song is just so rock and roll and so good. Every time I hear it, I just get so pumped. And I get these flashes, like montage of sorts of just a great night out, well spent, you know, looking hot, dark places, smoke, sweat. Fuck, that's a really good song. I would say runner up is the song, You Are a Woman, I Am a Machine. That is really good. The second half is what gets me every fucking time. When I was playing bass in a band, that used to be my warm-up because it really stretches the fingers and you kind of dance all around the scale. It's easier than just a basic scale, but you start playing it really, really fast and I could just zone out playing it, hearing it. Really, really good. Those two songs. So yes. Follow-up question. What is the proudest moment of your life so far? This took me a while to think about because I don't know that I've done anything so substantial to really directly point to it and say, yes, that moment I'm proud of. But I will say there was a moment in time that I'm very proud of. There was like a 6-month period about maybe 7 years ago, where I really cleared my life of toxic people, three in particular. And these three people are very important relationships that every person has. And it was all bad. And I finally realized that this having these people around isn't doing anything for my happiness. And to really stand up on my own, you know, no help from anybody else, and really say, I'm not going to take this anymore, and really, really cut them out of my life. No contact, you know, that takes a good amount of strength, and I'm proud of that. I did that, and I recommend anybody else to do that. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. And now I have a clear view of, especially now, people that I meet who I'm going to not so much let into my life, but even just casual conversation. If I'm not liking this negative energy you're giving me, I gotta go. Bye. And it's given me more of a confidence to know that I can do that and to be very specific in the types of people I surround myself with. So there's no exceptions. If you're an asshole, I won't entertain that for a minute. So I'm very proud of that. Thanks for asking. If you could visit any place in time throughout human history, or future, I guess, where, when would you go, and why? Okay, we're talking time travel here, and I have some ground rules. I've talked about this before with other people. So if I'm time traveling, whatever vessel I'm going in, some sort of orb, a telephone booth, whatever, I need it planted next to a hospital today or in the future. Because if I'm going in the past and if I get some crazy disease or if I break my ankle, I'm not going to rely on their medicine. I want to get right back in that vessel, taken back to today, or fuck it, let's just make it the future and have them just put lasers all over me, fix me, and then go back. That's rule number one. Maybe that's like the only rule, but that has to happen in order for me to feel secure to time travel. Okay. And then I start getting into very specifics, like, you know, like when you ask a genie for a wish, I don't want to get fucked. So it's like, how long am I there for? Can the other people see me? Am I actually integrated into historical society? Can I talk to people? Can I influence? Because I don't want to mess up the space-time continuum and screw something up. Because I might. So these are rules or issues or questions I have in order to enjoy my stay wherever I'm going. So all that hypothetical on top of hypothetical time travel, I would like to go to, pertaining to this question of human history, I would go San Francisco, early 1900s. Anytime before 1906. I don't want to get stuck in the huge earthquake. But maybe let's make it 1906, probably like the week before. Because from what I understand, San Francisco was cracking at that time. And I would love to see it. I would love to see the streets that I know and the city that I know and see it in time, see it active, see it alive. And in that time, it just seems everything was just well made. Anything that you touched, anywhere that you went, it had such care and just beauty to it. I would just love to see that. Anything packaging wise, I would love to see. People's faces in that era too seem to be different. I would love to talk to people. I would love to read the paper. I would love to go shopping. I would love to go out to eat. The food at that time, I think, was really, really rich, though. You know, a lot of meats and not much vegetables. Very, I think French cuisine was becoming pretty popular. So many wild new inventions that we use today. It just must have been just a tangible electricity in the air at that time. That's where I would go. As long as I can go to a hospital back in 2016. but whenever I am asked this question, you know, it comes up in weird conversations. If you could travel anywhere. My standard go-to answer to that is actually, I'd go to San Jose, 1968. I have an extremely close relationship with my mother, and she's the most interesting, awesome person I know. And I want to know everything about her. And I would just love to see her as a teenager, about like 18, before she had children, before she was married, before any adult responsibilities. Because I've only known her from a certain age on. You know, and you could see young pictures of your parents or family or people. You know, but you don't... I want to see her talk. I want to hear her voice. I want to know her humor. You will never catch me saying that my mom is my best friend, ever, even though we are extremely, extremely close. Best friends are a dime a dozen. I can get five if I want. You only get one mother. She's the best. And also I say too, there are things that you would definitely tell your best friend that you would never tell your mother. But we have a very respectful, great relationship. And I just want to know her. I want to see her. That's really where I want to go. I would love to see that. Hopefully when I die, I'm able to rewind or something and they'll be able to show me. So that's usually my standard answer of where I want to go. I really want to see my mom. And I wonder if she'd be my friend. She claims she would. But I wonder if I'd be able to hang out with her. That'd be just so weird. That'd be so awesome. Oh, that's my dog. Sorry. Are you okay? Okay. Next question. Say you've been put in charge of reforming the local schools. Would you make any big changes? If so, what and or why? What am I running for office? okay. I would say from my experience, I went to a private school from preschool to middle school and then got put into the public school system. So I've seen both sides and it's a drastic difference. When I got into public school, I was just like, I learned this stuff in like first grade. What are we doing? It was a shock. I would say that the one thing that I would change would just be smaller class sizes. That's the benefit to anything. The schools I went to, public schools, we were just packed in there like sardines and we didn't want to be there. The teachers didn't want to be there. You got these real generic assignments. You know, there was no attention to any particular student or it sucked. So I would say small class sizes. What's your ideal drink the morning after a night of sexy fun, flying solo or otherwise? Coffee, tea, or something else? Who cares? after the come down, after 20 minutes or so, I'm back to normal. So, I would just say that my go-to drink in the morning anyway is always going to be coffee. So we'll make that coffee no matter what happens. Do you like comedy films? Which one never fails to make you bust a gut? Of course, I love comedy films. Pretty much anything by Mel Brooks. History of the World Part 1 in particular. That's always pretty good. But I will definitely say my number one would be Uncle Buck. Of course, the movie itself is funny, but it's because I now have so many inside jokes with that it makes it extra funny. My brothers and I have been watching that for Thanksgiving for decades now. I don't even know how it started, but it started. So growing up with that movie, I just have years and years of inside jokes with it that just kills me every time. So it's really, really good. And even now for Thanksgiving, we just keep it on, sometimes just on mute, just like, you know, like a digital fireplace or something. And even just walking by, we'll all laugh at something that was either said by us or something in the movie. And it's hilarious. I love it. And without fail, every time when it ends and you see John Candy getting into his car and he waves and it freeze frames, we always just go, aw, God bless John Candy. And it's true. He could have done so much, so much more. Wow. So yes, that one, definitely. I could quote that movie all day too. It's hilarious. When wearing jewelry, do you prefer a bracelet or a necklace? If something else, what is it? I love jewelry. I have a large jewelry collection as well. But I will say I don't like to leave the house without earrings. I also really enjoy makeup, and I do a lot with my face sometimes. And with makeup, there's a lot of geometry and symmetry, so a lot of triangles and angles you want to hit. So I feel with earrings in particular, there's a line that ends at your eyebrow, hits your ear, and connects to the corner of your mouth. And I try to, I'm conscious of making sure that that one point is hit by something really pretty, so the eye just bounces everywhere. So yes, earrings. It's a cute question. Where did you hide the bodies? Well, when you're this big in the game, you pay somebody. Radio God Howard Stern stumbles onto GWA and also finds out one of the superfans is a celebrity on said channel. I wouldn't call myself a celebrity on here. Robin approaches our lovely mods and convinces them to give you two segments. And Stern decides to let you have free reign for that hour as part of a fuck you FCC skit. Oh, this is long. What will you do for that hour in two 30-minute segments to promote GWA or backstage? If you're allowed to bring two male and two female performers on those segments, who would they be? What kind of improv scripts will the five of you reenact, perform? What particular set of tags would you highlight? Will you encourage toy use or just use fingers? This is huge. All right. This person knows that I am a huge Howard Stern super fan. So first of all, Stern wouldn't give me a show, but you know, maybe he would on Howard 101. If he gave Riley Martin a show, he'd give me a show. Why not? I'd probably need more time than just an hour. Initially, I would like to start out about what GWA is. I would like to find the founder of the sub and interview that person. How did they get this idea? Did they already have posters lined up? Did they post themselves? Just how did that all start? Let's know our GWA history. As for who to interview, whoever's available, you know, I would like to have some veterans. I'd like to have some newbies. Maybe every segment, somebody new. I think everybody on here has a story of why they're doing this or what attracted them to it. I think that would be very interesting to hear everyone's opinion. What the newbies go through, what the veterans have gone through would be interesting. What else is here? What kind of improv? Oh, but I wanted to say too, this isn't that far off from what they've done on the show. They had, I think, a blind guy one time called in and they asked him how he watches porn, and he says he listens to erotic audio, and they got all into it. Then they found this performer and they gave her a show. She had an hour show, I think once a week, and it was Tissue Time with Heidi Cortez, and she did these scenarios, you know, much like we do on here. And I particularly remember one where she got out of the shower and took her towel off and slid her wet naked body all over you and everything. And yeah, it all went to climax and all that. And that was great radio. So it's kind of been done before on there. So there's that. That's why I'm a super fan. I know this stuff. Would I encourage toy use or fingers and stuff? I don't know how all that would even flow with a talk show. So if I was talking, I don't know how you just kind of ask somebody, okay, can you just start doing a scene? I don't know. I saw one time going through GWA that a while ago, maybe a year ago, there used to be a week in review on GWA. So that would be kind of fun. Like highlight some audios, week in review, and show, do like little trailers, like little small clips of what's on there. I think that would be cool. As for toy usage, I don't think they'd allow that on the show anymore. There was a incident that happened one time. The owner of the website Fuck Machines was on there, and she brought a lot of machines and some people to, or women to use them. This one woman was on a stool and she was getting fucked by this. It was a chainsaw that had a ton of tongues on it. Some sort of, I don't know, they weren't rubber. They were probably some sort of silicone based or something, you know, all these tongues. And it would just, so they just ring, 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 you know, took this chainsaw and just put it to her clit, and she was just going nuts, right? Ended up that she squirted, but her juices ended up in someone's eye, and he freaked out. You know, he was just there holding the mic, and then gets, I don't know, what do you call the fluid from squirting? Do you call it cum? Do you call it water? Well, that fluid got in his eye. And he had the next couple of days, it was a whole saga of him getting tested and everything. And it was kind of freaky. So since then, they haven't had any toy usage on the show. So I don't know if I'd be able to get toys in the studio. But they do have the Sibian on there. So I guess that's one sort of toy. We could maybe use that. Lord knows, I want to use that. That thing looks incredible. So that's... I would love to even have like a weekly show on there. I think that'd be really cool. So yeah, Baba Booey to y'all. Next question. What was the scariest movie you've watched? Oh, my scariest movie that plays into all of my major phobias is a movie called Dead Ringers with Jeremy Irons. It's two twin gynecologists, and I think one goes crazy, but they both get obsessed on one woman, and she happens to have an abnormal or like alien uterus. I'm already like, I'm out. But then the more you watch it, the one doctor starts like really going nuts, and he gets these tools made to fix her, or even just to work on her. And they look like something out of Alien. They're just wrong. You know, when he uncovers those, it's just wrong. It's all bad. And they don't even have like blue or white doctor smocks. Everything is just blood red. And it's just so creepy. And I do remember a lot of blood at one point. And I think no. I don't think I've ever really finished the movie because I can't. Oh my God, I can't. So I'm sure it's a great movie. I can't finish it. Just too scary. Too scary. So that one. Next question. You are only allowed to use one toy for the rest of your life. No fingers, no partners, just you and this sex toy. What is it? Jeez. I would have to say, I don't have it yet, but I have a custom-made glass dildo on order. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be that one. It's just for me. It's going to be everything that I want. It's going to be glass. It's going to be pretty. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to say that one. Definitely. You are over a friend's house to eat, and the food just ain't no good. The macaroni's soggy, the peas are mush, and the chicken tastes like wood. What do you do? Well, I'd probably pretend like I was full, you know, not to offend anybody. But hopefully I wouldn't have like a friend that would call me out and tell his mom that was bull. That would suck. The Hulk, Goku, Batman, Conan, and Brock Samson are in an every man for himself fight to the death. Who is my favorite? Well, sir, I don't know your favorite. And I'm not into all that. I don't really know those. I know the Hulk and Batman. I don't know anybody else. So I'm just going to, I'll say Goku because that name just sounds tight. Favorite accent to listen to? I don't think there's any surprise there. I love a British male accent. I love it. I don't know why. Who cares why? That's probably my one like real kink. I love that so much. Just talk to me. Say anything to me. And for some reason, there's a good amount of British people out here where I live. So it's very surprising when I talk to someone and initially talk to somebody and then I hear that voice, my cheeks instantly turn red. It's really embarrassing. But that's, yes, that's my favorite accent to listen to. Okay, I want some dirty details. Feel free to skip anything. Have you ever had sex with a woman? And if not, would you want to? I have, and I instantly realized I don't like it. It's not for me. I am strictly dickly. But, you know, I tried it, sure. But it seems like these days, if you're a woman, you kind of like have to, or at least say you are. I don't know where that expectation came from, but no, that's not for me. But I tried. And also, too, she kept my bra, and it was like a good bra. Like after that, I was all comfortable and I left home, you know, no bra, but she kept it and she kept like, she wouldn't give it back. So there's that, too, that women are bitches. What is the kinkiest fuck you've ever had? I can't really say that I'm that kinky, but how far is kink? Like, is it being tied up? Is it being blindfolded? Is it being spanked? Is that kinky? Because, okay, that's happened. I did have one partner who was just really into all kinds of, like, positions. Like, just crazy positions. I tried it, okay, but there's a lot of times where I would be almost in some weird pretzel and trying to really rationalize that this felt good. So there's that. I don't know. I like a lot of talking. I like kinky talk. Talk to me. Tell me bad things. I like that more than, I don't know, but I do like being restrained and I do like spanking and that stuff. But I can't, there isn't one memorable fuck like that. There's been, I don't know, it's been peppered throughout. So I can't really say there's just one. So, well, there's a goal then. What do you wear when you are dressing to impress in the bedroom? I have a couple things. Well, it depends on the partner because what turns him on, I'd like to accommodate that. I know heels are always good. Heels make me feel sexy. So if I wear heels, I feel good. But I do have a really tight tank top, white, that I've cut, and I cut it so it hits just above the bottom of my breasts. So I really like that piece. So I'll wear that with the pair of panties to just go to bed. These are my jammies. What? Yeah, so that's always fun to bring out. And I also, I enjoy full body stockings, full body crotchless body stockings with heels. I think that feels really good. It does. Just feeling hands over it. The sensation feels really good. So I like those. Do you keep your pussy shaved, trimmed, or wild? Actually, I'm so excited that I'm actually back to waxing. So I am a citizen of Brazil now. Again, it feels great. It feels so fucking good. So waxed, definitely. What fantastical, impossible scenario would you most like to reenact in reality? That's easy. My CEO, anything having to do with CEO character on my GWA profile posts are exactly. Those are like my biggest fantasies ever. So if you hear that, that's what it is. I want to be her so bad. So it's all there for you to listen to. As different fine wines are often recommended with different meals, so erotic audios can be enjoyed differently, how would you recommend your male listeners best enjoy A, your romantic audios, B, your FDOM audios? I don't know. Maybe I have one romantic audio, maybe two. I just want men to enjoy it. I make it for myself. Gets me off knowing that other people are even listening to me. And I would hope that I would be the feature presentation. So to have my male listeners maybe listen to other audios, watch their favorite porns, anything to get them nice and warmed up to listen to my audios. And God, I would just love for them to have the hardest orgasm and the hardest cum listening to me, to my voice, making them come so hard. Ugh. So that's how. And that's it. There wasn't very many questions. That's fine by me. This was fun. Thanks for listening and thanks for waiting. And I'll see you around the GWA. Bye.